This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Are you in or out on these sleepers? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Wormley. Joining me today, Derek Brown and Andrew Erickson. Guys, we are recording this on the morning of August 31st. We are 1 day away from September, which means we are 1 day away from being in the month that the regular season kicks off. It's a very exciting time in the fantasy football space. Erickson, can you smell football in the air?
I mean, I smell pumpkin spice in the air for sure.
Oh, gosh.
It's back, baby. It's back. But fantasy football is back. It's the perfect combination. What could you possibly want more than watching football, sipping on some nice PSL? So I love it.
Name a more iconic duo. I'll wait. Devro, how are you doing on this fine August morning?
Look, I don't want to start pumpkin shade, but like Andrew brought it up. I feel like pumpkin is kind of like coconut. It's made up, man. Like, and I'm not saying I don't like pumpkin flavored things, but it's like when you eat pumpkin versus when you have a pumpkin latte or whatever, like whatever, or a pumpkin beer. Like, I always walk away from being like, pumpkin doesn't really taste like this. Like, it feels like it's made up, kind of like coconut. So, you know, you can miss me with the pumpkin stuff.
Yeah, I don't have a sense of smell, and so my taste is kind of messed up. So, like, pumpkin spice latte means, like, nothing to me. I don't get any
I feel bad for you, appreciation. Man. That sucks.
You know, it's fine. I'm used to it. I haven't been able to smell for my whole life. Let's make sure everyone can find the three of us online. Debro's Twitter handle is at Debro_FFB. Erickson's is at Andrew_Erickson. I can be found at Ryan Wormley. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. Fantasy Pros is the place for you to find all the tools you need to dominate every one of your drafts this season. We are just over a week away from the season kicking off, so head to fantasypros.com/draftwizard today to take advantage of our newest draft tool, Draft Intel. Draft Intel is free, it's fast, and it shows you your league mates' drafting history and tendencies for the last 5 years. How early does this manager draft tight ends? How many running backs does he take in the first 5 rounds? It's all there, and it all helps you get an edge on draft day. And again, it's free. Other Draft Wizard features include the mock draft simulator, a fast, fun, and again, free way to perform countless accurate mock drafts, the draft assistant with Sync, giving you real suggestions from the experts during your actual drafts. Cheat Sheet Creator allows you to create customizable cheat sheets for use with all of our other tools. The Draft Analyzer, an in-depth breakdown of how your team stacks up against the competition. So check out Draft Wizard for all your drafting needs over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And if you're not currently a subscriber, we've got an amazing offer that gets you premium for 6 months without paying us a dime. You can check out that deal at fantasypros.com slash offers. Fellas, let's dive right in. Today, we're running through some of the most popular sleepers in fantasy football this year, as determined by the expert consensus across the industry. We're only going to be talking about running backs and wide receivers today. It should be a good episode. Our rankings today are powered by our half PPR expert consensus rankings, which can be found at fantasypros.com/rankings. Let's start with the running backs, guys, and I'll jump into a guy that Andrew Erickson has seen live at camp a couple of times this season, Ramondre Stevenson, half point PPR in our ECR rankings, our running back 31. Erickson, where do you have him?
I have him at running back 27, and he's someone that I think that everyone should leave their draft with because I think he has really high upside in the Patriots offense, specifically if he takes over the pass catching role. We're seeing injuries to the Patriots' other tertiary running backs in terms of Ty Montgomery got banged up. They cut J.J. Taylor, who's potentially going to join the practice squad, but it shows kind of how they value him and that they were willing to let him go and if someone else scoops him up. So I think that Ramondre has way more upside than Damien Harris, who really hasn't been used as a receiver yet. Stevenson was really efficient as a receiver last year. He's big. He's a bulldozer with the ball in his hands, and that's why I have him ranked over Damien Harris.
Would you rather have Harris in a standard format or it's Stevenson no matter what?
I think that it's probably just closer between the two players. I think Stevenson is just the better all-around talent. So I think I'd still prefer Stevenson in that capacity, but it would be much closer. And I would probably be more open to taking Damien maybe later if he goes later in drafts, because depending on where you're drafting, their ADPs sometimes flip-flop. I think a lot of sharper platforms actually have Stevenson ranked over Damien Harris, where others, like I think our consensus ADP still has Damien Harris as like a top 75 pick and Stevenson kind of on the fringe in the 90s and 100.
Debro, where are you at on Ramondre?
So I'm curious. I want to toss this back to Erickson before I give my Mondre take. Where do you have Damien Harris ranked?
I have Damien Harris outside the top 30.
Okay.
So he's like 31, so I believe.
I have them flipped, man. Like I've got Harris right ahead of Ramondre, and I've considered already flipping them because of the pass game role. We know Damien Harris probably doesn't ever get that, but I've got Damien Harris at where you have Ramondre, and I've got Ramondre Stevenson at RB 32. And all the reasons, like, I love the guy, but I'm worried, like, does he get the goal line role versus Harris? Although I think that Ramondre is going to get the passing downs, and that's kind of where I'm split, man. It's like, do you go with touchdown equity? You go to pass game role, and or is it like a format thing? I guess that's where I'm kind of struggling it with him.
Well, I think the question about the red zone role is not necessarily that one of the running backs is going to have it. And because the way that they've been using the backs is Damien Harris gets a drive, Ramondre Stevenson gets a drive, and they play all the snaps on those specific drives. It's kind of what we've seen during the preseason. It's different than Belichick has done in the past when Josh McDaniels has been the offensive coordinator, where they've always had a James White. Like what they're showing us this year, like they may not have a guy playing in the James White role. And it's really like Damien Harris plays all the snaps and then they take him out and they put Stevenson to play all the snaps. So basically I'm just betting on the offense will be more efficient and be better when Ramondre Stevenson is playing. So when he's in the game, I think they're going to have more red zone opportunities. And thus you're going to see Stevenson have and score more fantasy points than Damien Harris, even though the, you know, total touches is pretty split. I just think the offense will be better when Stevenson is on the field.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to have to flip him. That's what I think I'm going to have to do, just because the pass game upside. We know Harrison going to get that.
When this entire backfield is healthy, Debra, what percentage of touches do you expect Harris to get, and do you expect Stevenson to get?
I think if we're equating the pass game role into this, I think Ramondre is going to lead them in touches. If we're saying, okay, they probably 50-50 the early down work, you know, maybe it leans a little bit more to the one or the other, but I can't see Damien Harris factoring massively in the passing game. I mean, he hasn't been efficient versus like when you have Mondre. I mean, he last year he was eighth in yards per route run amongst all running backs with 20 or more targets. So we've seen that. And the other part about this is that Bill Belichick has come out and talked about Ramondre and his pass protection skills, and he was bad at that last year. So I think that's really, really notable in the sense that, look, Bill's already talking about that he's excelling at this, so I don't see Damien Harris eating into the passing game work. If anything, Ramondre should be the favorite to gobble all of that up right now if we're not factoring in Ty Montgomery with the injury.
Let's move to the next running back, a guy whose ECR ranking is probably going to rise based on the news yesterday. It's already been rocketing up pretty much the entire offseason. I'm talking about Dameon Pierce. There was the news that Marlon Mack being released by the Texans, so an even clearer path to that RB1 level workload that we're hoping to see. Currently, ECR RB36. You guys are both higher on him. Debro, I'll start with you.
I've got him at RB28. I know Erickson's a little bit higher than me on him, and this is not because I don't love Dameon Pierce. I love Dameon Pierce ever since I looked at him as a prospect, wrote him up for the site. I've got him at 69th overall, and so he's at that, like, fifth, sixth round kind of barrier. I think depending on where you're drafting, you're probably going to get exposure to him. Now, considering where consensus is probably going to go with him, I'm probably going to have to bump him up a little bit because I want people to be able to draft Dameon Pierce. Like, I want people to get exposure to Pierce in drafts. So looking at where consensus is, I think he's got a three down skill set. He was using the slot or out wide 23% of the time at Florida. I've talked about how great he is at pass protection. My biggest worry about Dameon Pierce's his overall season outlook is how much does this team use Rex Burkhead? And I think he should be shelved. We all think he should be shelved. That's not part of it. It's that coaching staffs and teams don't care about our fantasy teams. They don't care about what we think. So Burkhead having a role in this backfield is why I'm a little bit lower on Pierce, but I'm probably going to have to move him up anyway because I want people to be able to draft him.
Erickson, you are even higher. You have him RB22. Where do you have Pierce overall? What round are you looking to draft him in?
So I have him 63rd overall, and I think fifth round is honestly the earliest I feel comfortable taking him. I think that the fourth is kind of where he could probably maybe be priced out just a tad. And I think sixth round is probably like a sweet spot where I feel like really good. It's still like I'm still getting value because it takes one game where he comes out and has 20 carries and he's going to be a top 24 ranked running back every single week. Like, that's all it's going to take. And then it's like, wow, we should have been taking him in the fourth round the entire time. So anytime you're still getting him outside of round the top four rounds, I think you're still getting a value because there will be people that will be hesitant to be like, oh, well, now he's too expensive. He's a fourth round pick, like day three. And it's like, look, I don't care what his draft capital is anymore because all the draft capital is telling us and suggests is the opportunity. Like, that's what draft capital dictates. It does not dictate talent, especially at the running back position where players are used wrong all the time. And at Florida, Dameon Pierce never saw double digit. He only saw double digit carries twice because Dan Mullen was a joke, and then he got fired.
Idiot.
Because he wasn't using any of his players the right way, like Kadarius Toney. Like, it's just what they were doing in Florida to make a lot of sense. So Pierce, I think, should have been drafted higher, and that's why I think that you can still get him out of value outside the top four rounds. So round five, if you're drafting, that's where you want to put Dameon Pierce in your queue. You want to be like, all right, if I need a running back here, like, you've gone receiver heavy, which we recommend in the middle rounds and runs 3 and 4, you go back-to-back wide receiver. I want Dameon Pierce. Like, this guy was first in percentage of expected points added in the class. And he was second in that mark when he was hit behind the line of scrimmage. So I know a lot of people are going to talk about, oh, well, the Texans, they're not good. Like, this guy creates plays on his own. And what matters the most, D-Bro, when it comes to running backs? Volume. And yeah, Dameon Pierce is going to get it. So, yeah, I am very high on Dameon Pierce, and that's why I have him at RB22.
Well, I want to mention this real fast, too. So if you're starting your drafts wide receiver heavy, I have no problems with you being aggressive and taking Dameon Pierce. Okay, I do want to mention that here, because if you are going zero RB or you're looking at to kind of flip the build and you're going other positions a little bit earlier, wide receivers, tight ends, and you're garnering those spots, then I have no issues with people being a little bit more aggressive on Dameon Pierce because you're shooting for upside there, and that's what you're looking for with the running backs you're targeting there. So again, early fifth round, you're going wide receiver heavy early. Sign me up.
Let's move to another running back that you guys expect to move up in the rankings here as we get even closer to the start of the season. Chase Edmonds, Erickson, he's currently ECR RB30. Where are you going to end up with him?
Yeah, so I've been above ECR on Chase Edmonds, not to the extent that D-Bro has, but now he's a player that I need to move up. So he was right at RB29 when we first kind of put this list together. And with the Sony Michel release from the Miami Dolphins, like, that was kind of something I was concerned about. You know, my only question about Edmonds was not, oh, is he going to be used as a receiver? Like, I feel pretty confident that he's going to be used as a receiver. I feel pretty confident he's going to be an efficient running back in this zone style offense that Mike McDaniel's bringing from the San Francisco 49ers. Edmonds has always been an efficient guy on a per-touch basis as a rusher and a receiver. So I was just worried about, okay, what is his real ceiling? But now with Michelle out of the way, I am not afraid of Raheem Mostert whatsoever. Like, that guy is 30 years old. He has never been able to play a full season. So yeah, maybe it's a little more muddled, and maybe Mostert is the goal line back, you know, to open up the year. But I think Edmonds is still the guy that you definitely want. And I think that you can get him as your RB2. I mean, you don't even have to draft him as your RB2. You can get him as your RB3, and he gets even more value in half point PPR and PPR. So he's going to be moving into my top 24 running backs on the back end, because he's someone that I'm drafting. Because when anyone asks me where I have someone ranked, I think a better question is to ask them, are you drafting this player? And I am definitely in on drafting Chase Edmonds.
D-Bro, even with Erickson moving up Chase Edmonds in his rankings, you are still clearly higher on him. Why are you so bullish on Edmonds?
I've been telling people, man, it's Chase Edmonds' season. I've been out here talking about it. I've had him as a top 20 running back for weeks, and Freeman's called me crazy. Social media's called me crazy. But the thing about it is Chase Edmonds is going to own the passing down work. I look at him as basically we had the same questions as we did with Austin Ekeler last year. It was, oh, super efficient player, plays in the passing game. Does he get the red zone work? And all these Sony Michel worries are now gone. So Chase Edmonds, we know pretty much what his role is going to be if he gets all the red zone work. Hell, if Raheem Mostert, which we don't know if he could stay healthy for a full season, if he goes out and he misses time, there is no way in hell this team is going to also factor in like Miles Gaskin, whoever the heck else is on the bottom of this depth chart. We could be looking at a three down running back in a what I think is going to be a is still an underrated offense that you're getting for pennies. So yes, top 20 running back, top 24 running back. I would take him ahead of whatever lagging ADP you're drafting on that site, ESPN, Yahoo, all those. They're not going to catch up with the ADP fast enough. Take Edmonds around before wherever he's sitting in the queue.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Fantasy Sports Knockout. If you're looking for a ridiculously fun fantasy football format this year, check out Fantasy Sports Knockout, where a fantasy league meets a knockout pool. Set a new lineup every week using any players you want, but you can only use each player one time for the season. Avoid being the lowest scoring entry in a given week and move on. Should you load up early to survive or save the better players for favorable matchups, it's up to you. There's only one winner. Can you survive the fantasy? Sign up today at fantasysportsknockout.com/fantasypros. That's fantasysportsknockout.com/fantasypros. Next running back I want to talk about is a guy who is nominally the backup we would like to see get more workload than the RB1 in that offense. That's Tony Pollard. Erickson, I'll start with you here. I know you've been down on Zeke pretty much the entire offseason. Currently ECR on Pollard is RB33. Are you higher on him because you're down on Zeke?
Yeah, Tony Pollard is tough for me to wrap my mind around, because I'm definitely lower on Zeke, so I should naturally be higher on Pollard. But like, there are still other running backs I like in his range a little bit more, just because I'm not as bullish on Tony Pollard's standalone value. I know I've talked to D-Bro about this before. We talked about this in our ranking showdown in the Discord channel, where I did poop Pollard up a little bit, and I am higher than ECR on Tony Pollard. So if he's there at ADP, I'm definitely open to taking him. But like, a lot of the roster constructions I do, it's like, if I have to start Pollard week one, like in my flex, like I don't know how I feel about that. Like, there are receivers I like a little bit more that I feel more confident in. So I get the appeal with Pollard with the top tier upside that he has. And because we've seen it before, when Zeke gets hurt or misses any time, like, Pollard smashes, but Zeke doesn't miss a lot of time. Like, he just doesn't miss games. And I'm afraid that you're going to wait on Pollard like you always do every year, and then Zeke just, he just doesn't get hurt, and he just plays the whole year, and you never really get to capture that upside that Tony Pollard offers. And I think he's someone I almost would rather just try to buy low, you know, during the offseason when people just kind of like leave him on his bench. You know, they're not playing him as much because his receiving role is just okay. It's not like an Aaron Jones level esque receiving role. Michael Gallup's looking more like he's going to be coming back sooner rather than later. So another receiver kind of added to the Cowboys. So yeah, I think Pollard at his ADP is fine, but I just don't find myself gravitating towards him in specific builds that I do personally.
Yeah, there's clearly no argument that Pollard is the type of handcuff that if the guy goes down, league winner type upside, I mean, similar to like an Alexander Mattison in that upper echelon of handcuffs. The question is, does he have that standalone value? D-Bro, you are a lot higher on Pollard, so I take it you think he does have that standalone value.
Oh, yeah. I think he has standalone value, and I think that Gallup's health is still up. Now, if we go back and we listen to the quotes from the Crypt Keeper, you know, a.k.a. Jerry Jones, if we listen to him and everybody gravitates to, okay, well, it's Zeke, and he talked about Zeke. At the end of that, he gave Tony Pollard some love, and that's why I have Tony Pollard as a top 24 running back. I have him as my RB22. I want to buy into good offenses. I'm buying all into the fact that Tony Pollard is going to be used in the receiving game a ton. So I think he has standalone value, and he's one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL. I've thrown this out there a bunch. I'll mention it again. The only running back in the NFL to finish top five in yards after contact per attempt and yards per route run last year. We know the value he has if Ezekiel Elliott ever goes out. I'm telling you, he has standalone value, and we want to buy into good offenses. Like we talk about, can this offense support two top 24 wide receivers? The flip side of that is we see offenses support two top 24, top 36 running backs all the time. Dallas can be one of those. So yes, I want to be higher than Tony Pollard. And I have no problem week one rolling him out as my RB2 or as a flex. I'm in on it.
Erickson, another potential backup here, or I should say is a backup nominally, but a potential guy who could get as much, if not more workload than the RB1. Kenneth Gainwell, currently ECR RB44. Where do you have him?
So I have him one spot behind ECR at RB45, and he's definitely higher in a PPR setting. I'm just not sure exactly what we're going to see from Gainwell in terms of a week-to-week consistency basis. Like, I think we could see him have spike weeks in a similar fashion that we see from, like, a Nyheim Hines-type player. But, I mean, where does Gainwell fall in the pecking order in terms of targets on that offense? Like, he's behind the three big receivers, and he's not favored as, you know, the pure rusher. You know, it's going to be Miles Sanders. And if Miles Sanders goes down, like, Boston Scott is going to be like one of the backs used on early downs. So Gainwell is going to be a guy that's hard to project, like kind of like he was last year. Like, how many times did he pick up Gainwell last year? And how many times did he not do what he did the week before? Like, I don't necessarily think that's going away. And Nick Sirianni comes from the Colts. Like, when they drafted Gainwell, they said he was like Nyheim Hines. And look, guys, Nyheim Hines is not fun to roster. Especially when he has a guy that moves the ball around as a running quarterback. This year, it's a little bit better because Matt Ryan's there, obviously, who doesn't move and targets the running backs. But Jalen Hurts is the goal line back. It's not Miles Sanders. So I like Gainwell the prospect a lot, but the situation for him is like, okay, if Sanders goes down, like how much of his role is actually increasing? You know, when is he going to have these spike games? So I just don't see myself like looking at him as like, oh, he's going to be, I'm going to know exactly when to draft roster him or start him. Cause I think that's important to always remember with these players you draft that have these very segmented roles. Okay. Kenneth Gainwell, do you know when you're going to be able to start him? Okay. Shootouts coming up. All right. Maybe you can start him in that specific matchup. But besides that, the Eagles are playing the Lions week one. I believe you think Gainwell is going to be someone you can start. Probably not.
D-Bro, quickly, cause I know you agree with a lot of what Erickson's saying. Where are you at on Gainwell?
I agree with everything Erickson just pointed out. I mean, I'm right in line with ECR. I'm like one spot ahead. I have him at RB43, which puts him in that tier like Nyheim Hines, pass catching backs, some handcuffs and stuff like that. I think the Eagles offense is really what I'm buying into, ranking Gainwell there. It's not so much maybe Gainwell as it is touchdown equity, an offense I love, and I'm falling in line with consensus. So yeah, I agree with all of Erickson's points.
So, D-Bro, where are you at on Kenneth Walker, our next running back, currently RB38 in ECR?
Well, boring enough as it sounds, I'm right with ECR. They have him at RB38, and that's where I have him, because the Seattle Seahawks offense is... It's gross. It's terrible. So, I ranking him there is buying in, again, to talent. I think Kenneth Walker, you can make a case he's as good, if not maybe a little bit better of a rusher than Rashad Penny, and that's saying a lot. But the offense overall, the ceiling's low for this offense and touchdown expectations. We don't know what kind of receiving role, if any, Kenneth Walker is going to have, although I do still believe he can catch passes. The man has hands. I just find myself just walking hand in hand with consensus on him.
Erickson, you're roughly in line with that as well.
Yep, RB39 for me for Kenneth Walker. I just think that Rashad Penny's going to be the starter as long as he's healthy. And right now, he's definitely the more healthy of the two running backs. So it's a scenario where Penny's the guy you probably should draft. And Kenneth Walker's probably the guy you try to trade for, as he just does nothing to start the year. But, you know, when we're talking about, you know, Seahawks running backs in week 10, 11, 12, no doubt in my mind that's going to be Kenneth Walker that we're talking about, because there's no way Rashad Penny's going to make it that long. But from a draft perspective, if I can draft Rashad Penny as my RB2 or RB3 when he's going to be the clear bell cow to start the year because he's healthy or healthier, that's who I'm going to draft. And then I'll worry about getting Kenneth Walker as a buy low when he misses games to start the year or he's behind Rashad Penny, because I know Rashad Penny's going to get hurt. So I'll just get hit. I'll just get my shares of Walker when his value is more suppressed after the start of the year.
Let's move to a running back where neither of you agree with ECR, but going in opposite directions, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's currently RB28 in the rankings. Erickson is a little lower on him. Debro a little higher. Erickson, I'll start with you. Why are you not quite on board with CEH?
Because it's the same exact situation he's been in. Like, okay, he's known as the quote-unquote starter in the Chiefs offense, and what has that done for him for the last 2 years? He has finished as a top 12 running back 5 times. He has never finished in the top 6 in any given week, despite playing for the Chiefs offense. So I understand the allure of, oh, well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the Chiefs offense, like, that's maximum upside. Okay, but he's literally been in that role for the past 2 seasons and has not capitalized on that upside whatsoever. Now, he's had a stable floor, finished as a top 36 running back in over 82% of his games, but I think that his upside is kind of being overblown. And what do we know also talk about upside? Pass game usage. Is he getting it? No. No, he's not getting the pass game usage. Jarrett McKinnon is getting the pass game usage in this Chiefs backfield. And the team showed they had trust in Jarrett McKinnon last year when they gave him more touches per game than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When it mattered the most, they gave it to Jarrett McKinnon and not Edwards-Helaire. Get that through your head, everyone, that you've decided to draft CEH. Like, how, like, what is his stranglehold on this RB1 role? Because they sure were given a lot of other running backs opportunities to play with the first team. And, oh, Isaiah Pacheco, like the 7th-round pick, he looks really explosive. Ronald Jones is still on the team. Like, they didn't cut him. Maybe that's because Derek Gore went on IR, but Ronald Jones has still been a decent inside the tackles rusher, which Edwards-Helaire has not necessarily highlighted during his NFL career. So I just see a lot of paths where if CH doesn't deliver, he's going to fall significantly in value. And I'm not willing to take a risk on a guy that has yet to show it for 2 years that he can really be the Chiefs RB1 that we were promised and that we're still searching for, because it still hasn't been a thing since Jamaal Charles.
So Erickson has CEH at RB35. Debro, you've got him at RB23. Is this betting on talent? Is it you think that the usage is going to be there? Why are you so much higher?
I mean, he's been running as the number one running back in this backfield. And I get Erickson's points, but the other thing that we need to understand for context is that CEH, we did not know last year he was coming into the year a shriveled up husk of him, his usual self. Couldn't work out in the entire offseason, lost a ton of weight because of gallbladder stuff. We didn't know any of that. None of that. So you add that in a disappointing second season on top of the hype got too high for CEH entering his rookie season. Although he was not a bad player, he was top 20 in yards after contact per attempt, top 20 in missed tackles force, the RB12 in expected fantasy points per game, and now we have a version of CEH where he's had a full offseason to work out, get ready for the season. He is running as the clear number one, and I get Jarrett McKinnon and Pacheco have garnered third downs in the preseason. I'm not disputing all of that. But we also need to understand that the Chiefs are top 6 in passing rates on first and second downs over the last 2 seasons. So while he's not playing on third downs, he can get targets on first and second downs if he's on the field, and he's not going to miss every single third down. So I'm buying into a good offense. I'm buying into a player that everybody's out on, although we need to understand context about especially his second season and what he showed in his first season in efficiency and breaking tackles, I think can come back behind a better offensive line and a team that's, I mean, honestly, like Juju Smith-Schuster, all these other guys, they need playmakers. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire can be that guy. And when everybody's out on him, I'm going to sit here and buy in.
Let's quickly wrap up our last running back here. Khalil Herbert, ECR, RB45. Erickson, you are roughly in line with that. So, Debra, I want to start with you. You're a bit lower on Herbert than the rest of us. Why do you not totally buy in on him?
It's because I view this backfield very differently. I think that David Montgomery is going to be the early down guy. I still believe in Tristan Ebner. Oh my gosh, I've been talking about him, and he made the 53. We couldn't have seen that coming. I think he is going to be the passing down back for this team. And Herbert, yes, I get in the preseason, they gave him a three down, at least a snippet of a three down role, what we saw. The other part of that is I don't think that that's going to project for the entire season. And Herbert, he hasn't been an efficient receiver, so I don't think that he's going to factor into that part of their attack for the entirety of the season on a player that his yards per route run was not good in college. Last year, he was 69th out of 74 running backs with 15 or more targets in yards per route run. So I just view this backfield a little bit differently. It's not because I don't like his talent. I just don't see him getting the three down workload, and I look at him as the early down complement or handcuff to David Montgomery.
Erickson, quickly, you're 10 spots higher among running backs on Herbert than Debro is. Did he convince you at all to move him down?
No, because I'm just not. I'm not in on Tristan Ebner as much as Debro is. I totally understand why, you know, he's lower on Herbert for that exact reason. I knew that he was going to bring up Tristan Ebner, and that's fair. Ebner's still a good player, so I'm not disputing that that argument either way. I just think Herbert is a better running back than David Montgomery. Like, I think that he's more explosive than David Montgomery is. I think that Herbert can be someone that does take on a three down workload. And I just think that he would be used in that fashion if David Montgomery went down. So it's really just a debate of, like, if Montgomery gets hurt, how are they going to deploy this Bears backfield? I think Herbert would take on a three down role, whereas Debro obviously differs in that capacity.
Can we just get the Bears to trade David Montgomery and then we're both happy, Erickson? Can that happen and then we both get to eat our cake? Come on.
Guys, earlier Erickson said that what better combo for watching football than a pumpkin spice latte? I'm going to suggest Miller Lite. When picking your fantasy team, it can be a crapshoot, especially when you're not using the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard, but picking your beer isn't, or at least it shouldn't be. Miller Lite has more taste. It's only 96 calories. When friends come together for fantasy football, it's Miller time. When football is on your TV, it's Miller time. Why? Because beer makes football better. There's no more fun part of fantasy football, besides winning, of course, than enjoying some cold Miller Lights with your friends on game day. Whether you have a good draft, bad draft, good season, bad season, Miller Lite still has more taste than those other guys, and it still has only 96 calories. So remember this season, every good fantasy football draft needs three things: professional advice from fantasy pros, friends, and ice cold Miller Lights. So head to MillerLite.com/buybeeronline for more. Fellas, let's move to the wide receivers here. We're going to start with another guy from the Chiefs, Juju Smith-Schuster, currently ECR wide receiver 31 in half PPR. Debro, where are you at on Juju?
I'm out. I've been out. I'm going to stay out. I have him at wide receiver 42, and that's actually, I moved him up just a little bit because I had to. But the efficiency's not been there. I'm not in on Juju. I still believe in Sky Moore, and I understand, he wasn't running with the first team in the preseason. He is going to take over in this wide receiver core as the season moves along. Juju has not been efficient, and for everybody that talks about Ben Roethlisberger, I still say, look at Deontay Johnson. He was still a good player. Juju is not. He couldn't even crest 1.0 yards per route run last year. Over the two previous seasons, 80th and 68th in yards per route run, so outside of being, you know, Big Ben Snuggy, which he's not in Pittsburgh anymore, I don't think he's going to be that in that role for Patrick Mahomes.
Erickson, you are a little higher on Juju. I was thinking about him earlier because I actually just drafted him in a dynasty league later rounds. Not like I invested heavily in him.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
And one of the points that I saw somebody making online was that he was at his best when he had other talent around him in the Steelers wide receiver core. Obviously, it's not a wide receiver, but guys like Travis Kelce at the Chiefs. Do you think taking attention away from Juju will mean that we can see one of those efficient seasons like we saw his sophomore year again, Erickson?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because you're making the argument that you should invest heavily in a beta wide receiver. Like you're literally admitting that he's not an alpha. But that he's only good when there's other good talent around him. So isn't
yeah,
that
but who cares if he's still good when that's the case, right? I mean, doesn't matter if he's number two, if he's getting a lot of yards.
Yeah, I guess that, but it also means that his top tier ceiling is also limited in a capacity. Like, that's why I have, you know, Courtland Sutton ranked over Juju Smith-Schuster, because I think Courtland Sutton is an alpha. And a lot of these other players, so I have him in, like, this, he's at the end of, like, this big tier that I have, basically, from, like, wide receiver 24 to wide receiver 36. Like, there's this big tier that I could see guys taking a jump forward. And the reason I have Juju Smith-Schuster ranked wide receiver 35 is because I'm just acknowledging more that he could be unlocked by Mahomes. Like, that's definitely still in his range of outcomes, because he has had big numbers put up before. But looking at the player, he's always been a beta receiver. And that just makes me more hesitant to buy into the fact that, oh, he's going to break out now. Because, yeah, he put up really big yardage numbers and stats, but he wasn't the guy in that offense. And I just think that there's a problem with that and breaking down Juju Smith-Schuster, especially coming off so many poor seasons where it's like, yeah, every time you tried to be the guy, you couldn't be the guy. So I am hesitant for that reason. And that's why I'm a little bit obviously higher than D-Row, because I think that Holmes could still unlock him at the right price. I think Smith-Schuster is worth taking a shot on, but he needs to fall a little bit for me to draft him.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm saying that Juju has like top 15 upside or anything like that, but if he's going wide receiver 31 and I think he has like top 24 upside, that's still value.
I mean, but it's, I'd rather take a guy that has like legitimate top 15 in that range. Like, I guess for me, it's like, yeah, maybe he's a value at wide receiver 31. He finishes as wide receiver 22. Okay, like, what does that do for me? Does that really move the needle where I have other guys like Elijah Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like these guys that show they could be top five wide receivers as alphas, as like the number one guys in their offenses versus Juju, where it's like he's always been the number two and he's in a good offensive environment. He puts up numbers, but I there's still some question marks.
Target alphas, and Juju's not that. Just going to sum it up like that.
Well, let's move to another wide receiver that I don't know if he's an alpha, but I know D-Bro loves, and that's Kadarius Toney, currently wide receiver 44 in ECR. You are a few spots ahead of him, D-Bro.
I moved him down a little bit, too. He's wide receiver 40. I moved him down only because of the knee injury, and we do have to factor some of this in here. So, of course, you go to record a podcast and the grass people come. That's just lovely. Lawnmower noises. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Anyway, back to Kadarius Toney. His upside is still absolutely there, and I think that he is also going to maybe fall in drafts because we do know the knee injury is part of what's been going on in camp. We haven't seen him in preseason, but if we're going for upside, I have no problems with you drafting him aggressively because this passing attack still needs a true number one to step up. Kenny Golladay is not that dude. He is not. He's dust. He doesn't even want to block for anybody now. He's basically like saying to the team, well, I make too much money. You can't cut me. But yeah, I'm not about that life with blocking. So I'm into buying into the upside for Kadarius Toney.
Erickson, you're slightly higher on Toney.
Yeah, I'm at wide receiver 38, and it's for the same reasons D-Bro kind of laid out. I think that he has legitimate top 15 upside. He could lead his team in targets. He was super efficient last year. But I also understand that he could just totally flame out. Like, he could never recover from his knee injury. He was hurt all basically last year. So I understand that there is a lot of risk involved with him, which is why he could be priced out of my range. Like, if he goes in the top 24, it's like, sorry, like, someone else can have Kadarius Toney. Like, I'm not taking that much of a risk on a player on the New York Giants that flashed, but in a very small sample size last year. But as a round 10 pick, as my fourth or fifth wide receiver who could be top 15, yeah, I'm going to draft that guy over ECR and over ADP. And then if he flames out, it doesn't hurt my roster.
One player who hasn't gotten really as much hype as I expected this offseason as now a top target in an Aaron Rodgers offense is Alan Lazard, currently ECR wide receiver 38. And I feel like there's a lot of talk about him early in the offseason, but then I haven't really heard as much recently. But again, this is a guy with Devontae Adams gone who is going to be up there in targets in Green Bay with a Hall of Fame quarterback. You guys disagree on him. Like I said, wide receiver 38 right now. Erickson, you have him up at 32.
Yeah, because he was wide receiver 8 in PPR over the last 5 weeks of the season because he caught 5 touchdowns. Because why do we want players in good offenses? Because good offenses score touchdowns. Alan Lazard is 6'4". He's going to play a big role in the red zone with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. I really don't think it needs to be that complicated. Yeah, he never got a lot of targets. You know who else didn't? Everybody else on the Packers offense, because Devontae Adams had a 30% target share for the past 5 years or however long he's been there. So I'm not buying into this, oh, well, Lazard's not good. Like, he's not efficient. Okay, yeah, he was a late round pick and he was someone that had to earn his way up the roster, and he's attached to Aaron Rodgers, and he's cheap. So those are all the reasons I'm in on drafting Lazard, because I think he has double-digit touchdown upside as a receiver. And we saw that at the end of last year. It'd be one thing if it was a total projection, but we've seen Rodgers target Alan Lazard in the red zone. He's literally telling us that Lazard is the number one wide receiver. Why are we trying to galaxy brain? It's like, oh, I don't know. It's probably Romeo Doubs. I don't know, man. So I like Lazard. That's why I have him ranked at wide receiver 32. I think he's a strong wide receiver 3 that you don't even necessarily have to draft at that price.
So, D-Bro, you have him at wide receiver 49. Why are you trying to galaxy brain this?
I mean, sign me up for the galaxy brain. My whole thing with Lazard is that, yes, the touchdowns could be there, but what I have a problem with is the pace of this Green Bay Packers offense, and if Alan Lazard is not an upper-tier target earner like Devontae Adams was, the projection for this offense, it's going to run incredibly slow. We've seen this over the last 3 to 4 seasons. They've been bottom 3 in NutriScript pace. Aaron Rodgers has not ever gotten there off of passing volume. He's gotten there off of touchdowns. So, yes, I get where Erickson's coming from, but we know touchdowns can be fluky. We understand that. And touchdowns are hard to project for any player in the NFL, much less wide receivers, even though I'm giving Erickson, yes, there's a path. I don't believe that his volume is going to be there because he's never flashed top-tier target-earning potential in any part. And it's like Devontae Adams leaves and we all of a sudden want to be in on Green Bay Packers wide receivers. We're going to talk about another one later, just happens to be in a new spot. But with Alan Lazard, targets per route run over the last few seasons, 90th, 71st, and 42nd. He's never shown that ability, even playing a limited role, to earn targets at a high rate. So slow offense. If you're not betting on touchdowns, I don't think the target volume is going to be there. Like, even a medium projection for him is like 95 to maybe 110 targets. And if the touchdowns aren't there, you're looking at a wide receiver, low wide receiver 3, high wide receiver 4, which that's where I have him. I've been bouncing in between wide receiver 48, wide receiver 49. So,
but you have to acknowledge that he's going to command targets at a higher rate because Devontae Adams isn't in the team anymore. Like, Devontae Adams is commanding targets at the highest rate of any NFL player. So naturally, Alan Lazard is not going to. So his target rate is going to, you disagree with that, it's not going to increase at all and it's still going to be bad? Or do you think it's going to increase?
It can increase, but tell me, do we definitively know that this target share can't get bumped out or watered down to Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, tight ends, running backs? Can that happen as well? Or do you project Lazard to get like a 25% target share?
I don't think it needs to be that high if he has touchdown equity. I mean, like, when you're looking at, okay, who's the favorite to lead the Packers in targets? Who would you pick?
I mean, right now, Aaron Jones?
You're going to take a running back, really? Okay. Who's going to lead the team in receiving touchdowns?
It's tough.
Who's going to lead the team in receiving touchdowns? Answer the question.
I'll go with either Lazard or I'll take the dark horse here. I'll go Christian Watson.
Okay, the guy that has yet to play with Aaron Rodgers on an actual football field. All right, I like it.
And the guy with the most talent out of any wide receiver they have.
Well, he has not been able to command targets with Devontae Adams either, so just so you know.
All right, let's move to another wide receiver who had a stronger finish to the season last year. Not quite all the touchdowns Alan Lazard got. That's Brandon Ayuk. And we had Brett Coleman on the show a couple of weeks ago, the day after he was at 49ers camp. And he was very emphatic that Brandon Ayuk is going too low in fantasy drafts this season. He was in the doghouse early in the year because it was his first non-COVID offseason. He didn't come into camp in shape. This is in 2021. Now he is in shape. Apparently, he is looking dominant. Like I said, very emphatic praise from Coleman, who was there and saw him in person when he was on the show. ECR wide receiver 35 right now. You guys both have him at wide receiver 41, so you're not quite buying into that bounce back hype yet, Erickson.
No, it's just a matter of it's not really buying into the bounce back for Ayuk. It's just a matter of, okay, so Debo, George Kittle, and Ayuk are all going to eat in this offense that's going to be run heavy. Like, that's like the big issue here. Like, that's what I'm concerned about, because, you know, that's why I'm fading Debo. That's why I'm not drafting George Kittle, and Ayuk is the one that I'm definitely open to drafting the most. If I'm going to draft any 49er, Ayuk would be the guy, and he's in the same tier, so he is in a tier where the ECR and my ranking do align, so he's not a player that, like, oh, don't draft Brandon Ayuk, because I do think the talent is there. We've seen it over the second halves of the last two seasons, where he's been a straight baller when he's been given opportunities in the offense. So of the 49ers, I like him at his price the most, but I'm also considering, okay, I draft Ayuk as a starter week one, and then Trey Lance throws like 20 passes in a game, and Ayuk can be the most talented guy on planet Earth, and it doesn't matter because the limited passing volume with a new quarterback is going to inherently limit him. Now, it's one of these things where if Debo or Kittle goes down, oh, baby, like you're going to see Ayuk, his value increase like exponentially because if he's a more focal point of the passing game. So those are my thoughts on Ayuk. And he's someone that if I don't get him in a draft, I will try to look and try to buy low on him because, like you mentioned, I also agree that the talent is there.
Debro, quickly, where are you drafting Ayuk in drafts right now?
Same. I mean, if he falls to me, that's fine. I'm not going to reach for him because, again, Erickson laid it out perfectly. It all comes down to passing volume, and we do not think that the 49ers are going to be a pass-heavy team. So somebody's got to fail. Hell, all of them might fail where they're going currently in drafts outside of efficiency. And we've seen the efficiency for Ayuk, but if he's not getting the volume, a 25% target share doesn't matter a whole hell of a lot when the quarterback might be throwing 24 times a game. So,
Let's move to a rookie wide receiver here. Chris Olave with the Saints. ECR wide receiver 45. Debro, where are you at on him?
I've got him at, I'm right in line with ECR, and it comes down to I worry about targets with him, but I think that the big play upside and how he's going to be used will give him enough ceiling weeks to bump him up to that because Jameis Winston saw it last year. ADOT was high. Big time throw rate was high. Olave, most of his production at Ohio State, receiving yards and touchdowns came on deep targets. So that's why I'm in line with ECR, although I do understand where Erickson is coming from.
Yeah, Erickson, you have him at wide receiver 54, so 9 spots lower.
I'm just concerned I'm not going to know when to start him because he's going to have big games when Jameis Winston has to rip it. And I definitely see that because I think that the fit between the two players aligns with Winston's ability to throw the ball downfield. But if the Saints are up in a game, I don't think that they're going to need to throw the ball. They'll run the football with their two running backs. And you also have these underneath receivers in Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas who are going to be vacuuming up targets underneath. So I don't, is it, we're going to get like 4 or 5 targets from Olave, maybe on his best game. Like it's just going to be big plays and I don't want to chase the big play. And then the next week he does nothing because even at Ohio State, like there were other good receivers in his offense and he didn't command a high target share because of it. And say what you want about Landry, Michael Thomas, if those guys are healthy and on the field, all they've commanded targets at a high rate. Even Jarvis Landry did last year.
And Kamara.
And Alvin Kamara as well. So if he's the number 4 like receiver in terms of targets, yeah, he has big play upside, but there's a lot of wide receivers that big play upside. Like it's really not hard to find a boom or bust wide receiver 4. And I get Olave is obviously more enticing because he's a rookie, but maybe I need to see a more consistent role from him. And even something in the preseason with Marquez Callaway also kind of playing in with the starters, Callaway has some history with Jameis Winston. So I'm not entirely sure that he's just totally phased out as a backup and not also working in on the offense, just making Olave maybe not every down snap player to open the year.
So more interested in best ball then, since you don't have to decide when to start him.
Exactly. Better in best ball, Chris Olave confirmed.
Run the clip.
Let's go with another young guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Obviously, a ridiculous finish to the 2021 season. Won a lot of people championships in the fantasy playoffs last year. Currently going as wide receiver 30 in half PPR. Erickson, you've got him at wide receiver 27, so a little higher.
Yeah, I'm just buying into the talent of the player. He was wide receiver 3 in PPR from weeks 13 through 18, and now he's a full-time role. Like, he's a full-time player in the Lions offense, and I actually think that he has a higher floor than people are giving him credit for because let's say he doesn't roll over, you know, the top 5 production he had because of the injuries. You know, Swift is back, Hockenson's back. You have DJ Chark in the offense now. So I get the argument against St. Brown where, oh, well, there's more target competition. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But last year, he was a fantasy wide receiver 3 in 47% of his games, like all of his games played. So that's including the games that he was not playing a full snap share in. So I think worst case scenario, you're getting a guy as your wide receiver 3, which is basically where his ADP and ECR are. But then there's also the room for, okay, what if another injury happens? It is football after all. Injuries do happen to players. And he already showed that he can deliver when he does become the focal point of a passing attack, whether that's because he's operating from the slot, you know, he's Jared Goff's new version of Cooper Kupp. So I think that at worst, you know, he's a wide receiver three and you don't necessarily, you get what you drafted him for. But I think best case scenario, he continues to ascend as a talented player that he displayed last season.
Debro, let's snap our fingers and Jameson Williams is now healthy. Where would you be ranking Amon-Ra St. Brown in that scenario?
Still around the same spot, because I mean, I don't think that Jameson Williams is going to be hit the ground running, and we're looking at schematic fit with Jared Goff. Jared Goff is not one that loves to throw the ball deep. Now, if the matchups are there and the talent is there, then yeah, sure, he can rip it deep. But what does Jared Goff like to do? Pew, pew, pew. Just short targets to Amon-Ra St. Brown and let him work. So I'd still be pretty much where I'm at with Amon-Ra St. Brown. The talent's real, man.
Debro, let's move to that receiver that you mentioned earlier, who was from Green Bay last year, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's currently wide receiver 53 in the rankings. You've got him way down at wide receiver 66.
I mean, we talk about like shooting for upside, and Erickson's laid out the point a bunch of times. Like, when are you ever going to feel comfortable with starting Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Basically, the idea behind Valdes-Scantling over multiple seasons, and it's still true, is the defense bad versus deep balls? Okay, start him. Are they good versus it? Okay, you sit him. Past that, I don't want a nine-route player. His reception perception looks like a damn stop sign, people. There's one green arrow for nine routes, and everything else is red, 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 red. Oh my gosh, he sucks at everything but running really fast in a straight line. I'm sorry. I get the camp and stuff like that. Like, he's running fast in shorts. He can get open. But when the lights come on and it's NFL time, I'm out on MBS.
Reception perception is a stop sign. If there's one takeaway from this podcast, it's that. Erickson, you are much higher. Not only are you higher on ECR, but you are over 20 spots higher at the position than Debro is on MVS. You have him wide receiver 45. Do you just think he's going to get a higher target share in a good offense?
Well, I think that his situation got upgraded across the board. Like, I think that he has a bigger chance of seeing more targets in the offense as a full-time player. On the outside, that's everything they've shown us in the preseason. He's running ahead of Sky Moore. He's running ahead of the other Chiefs receivers. He's a staple in their offense when they run two wide receiver sets. He also doesn't have to get his knee drained like Juju Smith-Schuster does. So, and the Chiefs paid him a decent amount of money. So he's going to be out there. And last year when he was out there with the Green Bay Packers, 20% wide receiver one hit rate last year as a top 12 guy. Same as Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Waddle, and Marquise Brown. His ADP is outside the top 50, and he was finishing as a wide receiver one, top 12, as often as those players that I just mentioned. He now has Patrick Mahomes. He now is going to see more targets in a good offense. Like, is it going to be tough to project him from week to week? Yes, it is. But I can tell you, week one, we're going to be talking about Valdes-Scantling pick off the waiver wire because Arizona cannot cover anybody. Their cornerbacks are horrible. So if you draft him, here's what you do. You play him in week one, and then you immediately trade him. Because he won't be the number one wide receiver when it all said and done. Because he's never shown that. He's never had more than 75 targets in a season. But you got to be able to capitalize on these boom or bust wide receivers. Like, we know who MVS is. But you can still capitalize on some of your league mates that think, oh no, MVS is going to become the number one because he had a big week one. I've fallen for the big week ones from Sammy Watkins many years. No longer. And I think MVS will fall into a very similar situation here. So... that's why I have him ranked where I think that he's worth drafting as a bench receiver. And then you just sell high. And I think you can get a good profit.
Sammy Watkins in week one is like the Ravens in the preseason. It's just something is different about it for them in that time of the year. And they are unbeatable. Let's move to our final wide receiver here quickly. Robert Woods. ECR is at wide receiver 43. You guys are both significantly lower on him. Is this a lack of injury optimism coming off of the injury he suffered last year? Is it the offense? Is it just his talent level, Debro?
He's an aging wide receiver and a run-first offense coming off of an ACL. Even if I don't mention a name there, what about this makes people being like, I really want to draft Robert Woods? I mean, it's that simple. It is that simple. Fantasy does not have to be hard. Draft good players, draft good offenses, draft guys that are going to get targets. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want any part of Robert Woods. People are like, well, there's a certain spot. Whoop, I'm even hitting my mic. And that's how much I'm like into this. There are certain spots where people are like, well, every wide receiver becomes a value, right? Like, you draft him eventually. some players it's fine to just be out on. And that's where I'm at with Robert Woods.
Debro is 20 spots lower than consensus on Woods. Erickson, you're relatively optimistic, only being 15 spots lower than consensus.
Yeah, I think the thing with Robert Woods is, sure, is he probably going to beat, you know, his 80 or where we have him ranked, you know, 57 and 62? Like, probably. You know, he's right now slated to be the number one receiver, but okay, so he finishes wide receiver 40. Oh, great. Yeah, I just don't see him making a difference. Like, that's the big thing here. Like, what is his actual upside? Like, I'd rather draft Treylon Burks and either have a rookie breakout or have him just totally flame out altogether instead of taking Robert Woods, who his entire career, Robert Woods has been known as like the safe guy, like the safe receiver in a good offensive environment. Now he's in probably the worst passing game environment you could really ask for in terms of targets, in terms of volume, and we don't even know like how established he is as the number one there. So he catches a bunch of targets, you know, from Ryan Tannehill when they're losing. I don't know. I just don't see the appeal. And similar to what Debro said, it's like, you just don't have to draft him. Like, is Robert Woods going to be the reason I don't win my fantasy football league? Like, no,
no,
I don't care. Like, it's just not a player that I don't see the appeal. And I get that he's probably like technically a value, but I want upside and I want to win my league, not finish in sixth place.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's squeeze in a mailbag question here to end the show. If the listeners want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Debro and Erickson are on there literally all the time. Our question today at BigPack07 asks, how do you guys feel about J.K. Dobbins given the Kenyon Drake signing? Erickson, I'll start with you.
I wasn't drafting J.K. Dobbins before, and it doesn't really change my mind about drafting him now because, look, he was a player that averaged 6 yards per carry the last time we saw him healthy, and that's really high efficiency, and it's really something that's hard to repeat year over year. He did not have a role as a receiver, which is very common when you have mobile quarterbacks, and adding Kenyon Drake is just, I mean, Kenyon Drake's better than Mike Davis. Like, I know that for sure. So if Kenyon Drake is just taking touches away from J.K. Dobbins, he's not catching passes, he's not as explosive as he was when he was healthy coming off a torn ACL, like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm not drafting that as my RB2. So it's not good that they signed Drake in J.K. Dobbins' opinion or for his outlook, in my opinion, but I wasn't drafting Dobbins anyway.
Yeah, I know Dobbins has really been like pushing this narrative that he's going to be back by week one. That looks pretty unlikely to me at this point, just following the Ravens closely. And even if he is, I have to expect he'll be pretty severely limited. And I like your point about how, you know, Lamar really doesn't throw to the running backs that much. So Kenyon Drake, I don't even think is going to take away from, you know, pass catching opportunities for Dobbins, because I just don't think those really exist in the offense to begin with. I'm not optimistic on the health. It's really hard for me to say as a Ravens fan, but I just, there's no way I'm taking Dobbins in the range he's going at right now. Debro, how about you?
Y'all summed it up. I mean, 10 to 12 touches per game. He gets no targets and he's got to worry about Lamar Jackson and the goal line. What's the appeal here? What's the appeal? Oh, and he's coming off an ACL. Oh, yeah, no.
He'll probably be a guy that I'm very in on next year, but right now I just feel like the optimism's too high. Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you guys both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember to check out the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard this season and Fantasy Sports Knockout, and of course, to also enjoy your drafts with an ice-cold Miller Lite. Thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and Debro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.